But let's go out to the hotline and welcome in our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, where our insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. And it's always good to have Ross on the show. As I said, throughout the season, he's going to join us. I wanted to start, though, with your perspective on the offensive line. Last year, we really used your insight early on in the season when we asked you about Donovan Smith and his performance early, and of course, Juwan Taylor. So now I want to ask you about the rookie left tackle, Kingsley Suamataia, and what you saw in that Thursday night opener and how you thought he played.
Yeah, I thought he did pretty well for his first game. You know, I mean, it's impressive to me for a rookie to be starting, you know, the opener as a second round pick. And it wasn't perfect, but, you know, obviously they won the game. And I think there was a lot there that you could feel like they could grow with and build upon. And so, there's a reason why he's starting, obviously. And there's a reason why they took him where they did. And so if there's going to be growing pains, you would expect them to be early. But, man, if they can get competent left tackle play, and I think they might be able to get, you know, it's not like even in his last year there, I didn't really feel like Orlando Brown necessarily lit the world on fire. And he wasn't great in Cincinnati last year. And I think Donovan Smith was just okay. Rather than doing these one-year rentals and rather than paying them a decent amount of money to be able to have a guy – potentially for at least the next 3 years, maybe four, kind of like what they've had it with Trey Smith at right guard, where you have a really good player, or at least in with Kingsley, you know, a solid player at an important position that you're not really paying that much. That would be gigantic. I mean, you know, with all the other guys they have to pay, with all the cap issues that are just as a result of having the talent they have, if they can get him to play pretty well at left tackle, it'd be hard to overstate how important that would be.
If he is just like a pretty good left tackle, right? They get league average play or close to that out of him the rest of the year. Where do you think their offensive line ranks amongst the rest of the league? Because I still think they have the best interior offensive line in football.
Without question, they have the best interior offensive line in football. And so, it's funny, there are teams like the Vikings that have two really good tackles, but the interior isn't great. And then there's teams like the Chiefs where the interior is stellar, but then, you know, the tackles, you know, maybe league average or below. I think they'll be league average. And because of that, I think I'd have to pull up my preseason rankings, but I have the Chiefs as a top 10 offensive line. It's so interesting. Because especially when I played, you know, tackles really got paid a lot. But there was a thought that you could kind of plug anybody in at center in both guard spots and they would be able to, they'd be able to get pretty good production from anyone inside. You could throw a Ross Tucker type. I mean, I started at least five games at center in both guards, which – really just means I wasn't good enough to ever just stay at one, you know, that guy. But now those guys get paid. We saw what Creed Humphrey just got paid. We see what some of these other guards are getting paid, because what's happening is quarterbacks getting rid of the ball so quickly that if you have a tackle rush, if you have an edge rusher going around the edge, man, quarterbacks are getting pretty good at getting out of their hands quickly. And also stepping up in the pocket and just making it a lot more difficult than it used to be for those guys to be able to overcome, you know, some of those issues that they present, right? It used to be edge rushers had time to get around the edge and knock the ball out of the quarterback's hands. Now, I mean, I see sometimes these edge rushers beat a tackle around the edge, but the quarterback either stepped up and threw it or he already threw it. You know, unless you get beat inside, you know, sometimes the quarterback should still have time to unload the ball.
I know you were on the call for the New England, or you weren't on the call for the New England Cincinnati game, but what did you see from Cincy against the Patriots? And was it just one of those bad days at the office, or are there some real concerns there for you?
Well, first of all, let's start with I thought that the Patriots had a great plan, right? Which is what the Patriots' plan is going to be. And quite frankly, has to be all season long, which is they were able to run the ball very effectively against the Bengals, kind of play keep away. The Patriots know they're not as talented. The Patriots know that, you know, they lack weapons on the outside but have a decent defense. So that's what they did. That, you know, they played defense. They ran the ball. They possessed the ball defensively. They didn't allow for any explosive plays. You know, Burrow was just kind of trying to dink and dunk the whole game. They were able to get pressure on Burrow. Keon White had 2.5 sacks. And then you have to be fortunate, right? Gesicki dropped what should have been a touchdown. Then the next play, Tanner Hudson fumbles at the 1-yard line. Otherwise, the Bengals probably win it. This is interesting to me because it feels like if any team kind of has the Chiefs number, or at least, you know, plays their best against the Chiefs, it feels like it's the Bengals. But yet we've also seen in recent history where the Bengals are horrific early in the season. And I think the thought process was that, well, Burrow finally had a full training camp. Burrow finally had, you know, a healthy training camp and off season. He's going to be able to come in and play at a high level. They'll be good. Well, then they just laid an egg. And it doesn't sound like T. Higgins will play again in this one. So that helps things for Steve Spagnuolo. You guys might get a heavy dose of my Princeton guy, Andre Yosivash, who I think ran around every single snap last week for Burrow. So don't let the Princeton guy beat you. You guys won't hear the end of it for the rest of the season every time I come on.
Between you and our producer, Drew, who he's a big Cincinnati fan, he's mentioned that wide receiver I can't tell you how many times over the last 4 months. So we are well aware of Yosivash.
That's funny. Great kid. Great story. Dude, he could have been like an Olympian in the decathlete. Very, very talented kid, and I think he's kind of the heir apparent for T. Higgins' spot. He's not T. Higgins yet, but I think that's the role he'll play.
Ross, let's talk about the game a little bit tonight. In week one, one thing that stood out to me is that I'm a little worried for the Bills that it might be Josh Allen carry us to the promised land, or we're not going to have enough to win football games. Is that what you saw out of the Bills, or is it just, you know, week one and Josh Allen went superhuman?
Well, a couple things. One is that's the game I did for CBS, and actually I'm talking to you guys right now from Fort Lauderdale because I'm doing the game tonight for Westwood One. So I don't know if you guys carry that or not, but I'll be doing Bills, Dolphins tonight, Westwood One Radio. And you're right about Josh Allen. Now, I think that their receiving core is better than they give it credit for. I'm not sure why they didn't throw the ball to their first-round tight end from a year ago, Dalton Kincaid, more, because I had people in the organization telling me he's really their number one receiver. But Keon Coleman was about as productive as any other rookie receiver out there, and this Khalil Shakir has been really a find the last couple years now for the Bills. Ultimately, though, and they ran it pretty well, but that's just who Josh Allen is. You know, it's funny because they have a stat that says this, and it's true. He's like this era's Brett Favre. You know, I mean, he has the most touchdowns and the most turnovers over the last 4 years. The last guy to do that was Brett Favre in the late 90s. That's kind of the Josh Allen experience. It's probably going to lose a game or two for you every year, but it's also going to win double-digit games, and it is so entertaining. You know, I love watching Mahomes play, but there's kind of an added element with Allen's, I don't know what the right word is, maybe recklessness as a runner. You know, Mahomes gets it done, but Mahomes is pretty darn good about getting out of bounds or sliding. He's always fast enough to not really get, whereas Josh Allen, like, he'll run people over. He'll jump over people. I mean, it's highly entertaining. I'm actually really surprised that he has stayed as healthy as he has throughout his career because he just takes so many shots, but he doesn't really care. And I guess he's just such a big kid that he's able to do it and stay healthy because the way he plays, you would think that he would have missed more games than he has. I'm trying to look it up while I'm talking to you guys, but I mean, he's missed,
very
like
few.
In 2022, he missed one game. He's missed one game since his rookie year. That is unbelievable.
I feel like I'm worried, though, that it's going to turn into, because I think that used to be the word on Cam Newton. And in Cam Newton, he wasn't hurt at all until he was, and then he was never healthy again, Ross.
That's a fair point. I don't think they use Josh on that many designed runs. But I would also say to you, you know, it's an interesting question. It's one that I've always thought about with a lot of these guys. Russell Wilson, certainly. Would you rather have 10 years of MVP caliber football, or would you rather have 14 years of just a notch below that? Because it's the running and it's everything that makes Josh Allen an MVP candidate. It's why the Bills have won the division 4 years straight. If you try to pull the reins back and try to neuter that a little bit, he's not quite the same guy. He's not a top five guy. And I don't know. I think that's actually a good sports talk radio conversation. It really is, right? Like, would you rather have a guy at his absolute best and MVP and winning divisions and all that stuff for 10 years? Or would you rather have a notch below that for 15? And I don't know, you know.
And if you're asking me, you essentially asked me, would I rather have Josh Allen or Derek Carr? And the answer is Josh Allen.
For sure. For sure. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that Derek Carr is top 15. I don't know that I'd put him in there. But, yes, the answer is I think you'd rather have the highest of highs, and when it goes bad, try to get the next one.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey.
Well, I don't think he takes quite as many shots as, like, Cam does. I think he's a little bit, you know, they're not running him on, like, quarterback power 10 times a game like Cam was.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, going to join us throughout the season. We appreciate it. Nobody's living a better life than you. You were in Hawaii a couple weeks ago. Now you're in Fort Lauderdale. Must be nice.
Yep, doing this game tonight, and then tomorrow morning flying to Denver. I got Colorado at Colorado State, Saturday night, primetime CBS. Living the dream, boys.